Welcome then to episode one of the Kind to Your Mind podcast, which is supporting key workers and their families during this difficult time with some practical information and advice and some simple things that you can take with you that you can put into practice maybe right away. In this first episode, we're focusing on resilience and how making small changes could help key workers and their families deal with stress and pressure. And joining us in this episode is Dr. Anushta Savanathan, the Medical Director and Consultant Psychiatrist at the Cheshire and Wirral Partnership NHS Foundation Trust. Welcome along.
Thank you very much.
And you are our first guest as well, so quite an honour.
Thank you. I'm honoured.
Obviously, we are living in some very unusual times. And I think if we go back 6 months and said what was coming our way, people wouldn't have believed you. In this episode, we're talking about resilience, which is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. What are the difficulties that you've been finding from people that they've been experiencing in this last month or so?
What we've been finding, there's been a range of issues. First of all, people have been anxious and depressed about the fear of becoming infected with COVID. A number of people who've already had mental health problems, the stress of the illness has made that a bit worse. And the third group of people who we are concerned about is those who are now socially isolated because all the activities and things that help keep them well are no longer available.
Is there a balance between keeping people safe from COVID-19 versus the mental balance that some people are discovering as well?
Absolutely. And if you don't mind me saying in, I think we've called it social distancing, but what we mean is physical distancing, because we should still keep socially in contact. And one of the key things for people to be resilient and to cope with the stresses that are going to be going on for a while yet and have been going on for some time is having that social connectivity. Humans like connections. We need to keep our family connections, our work connections, but we just have to do it in a very different way. And keeping those connections are the important things to keeping our mental health good.
So for key workers listening to this, working on the front line, what signs should they be looking for if they find their mindset has changed over the last few months?
Things that people might notice that are changing is that their sleep is becoming affected. They may have worries and having difficulty going off to sleep. They may find themselves waking throughout the night and waking early in the morning with worries. They might notice that they have symptoms of anxiety, so butterflies in the stomach, dry mouth, heart racing, feeling that things are a bit unreal. And sometimes people might find that their mood is becoming low. They're losing enjoyment in the things that they usually found enjoyable. So there's a range of symptoms that might be warning signs that one's mental health isn't as good as it used to be.
You mentioned anxiety there. What causes it?
What happens is that as humans and on our development, when we've had stressful situations, we fight or flight. You'll have heard of that saying. Mm-hmm. So fighting is squaring up to prehistorically, it was kind of woolly mammoths and what have you, and confronting the fears, or flight is running away from it. Now, what happens is physiologically we change. So adrenaline gets pumped around our body, which means that, as I said, we have racing hearts. We can feel our mouth getting dry. We can feel our stomach churning, and the worries. So in our brains, we repeatedly think about things that are worrying us and going over and over them in our minds.
Yeah, it's certainly something I'm noticing, worrying about things I wouldn't normally have worried about.
And I think one of the things that happens in that case is because part of it is newsfeed, social media, etc., that is portraying the difficult circumstances that we're all living in, or the difficult times that we're all living in. And therefore, our minds are taking in all of that information. We have no certainty. So normally when we have anxieties, we find practical ways of getting out of it. But currently, we can't see a practical way out of it. So that uncertainty is making our worries expand and becoming more magnified. And that's why we're perhaps thinking about these things, that little worries are becoming bigger than they would normally be.
And what are the tips then that people can put into practice, just little things maybe that might help them cope specifically with anxiety?
I think there's some general advice, if you wouldn't mind me sort of saying, first mm-hmm. of all, Ian. I think things that we can all do to keep our mental well-being. Key things to that are a little bit of regular exercise, so really important. Trying to turn off our devices for an hour or so before we go to bed. Thinking about how we spend time with loved ones, quality time. Thinking about cutting down on alcohol, particularly because that can affect sleep. We also know that keeping a routine is really important, and quite a lot of people are out of their routine. So it's finding what's the new routine. It's really important if you're at work to take opportunities for breaks. I know at the moment it's very pressured for people and there's a constant stream of things to do, and that doesn't matter in which line of key working that you're doing. It is really hard to take breaks, but it's really important for your mental well-being that you do take regular breaks. Also really important to keep hydrated, because when you're on your feet and busy, it's easy to not have water or tea or whatever is your favourite soft drink to keep you going. So really, really important tips for us all to try and keep our mental health well. If you're finding that you are becoming anxious and worried, I think the first thing which is really important is to talk about it. One of the things that we find is that people have worries and they keep them to themselves, and therefore deep inside those worries are getting churned around and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And we just need to talk to people. So that would be my first step. Talk to somebody you love, trust that you can, about these worries. There are also a number of things available. So Public Health England are running a campaign called Every Mind Matters, and that has a whole load of tips and techniques for managing anxiety. There are a number of apps that are available, including Unmind, Headspace, Sleepio, Daylight, a variety of things that are available that have been tried and tested through the NHS that people can use to help manage their anxiety. Simple things like breathing exercises, mindfulness are really important to take away the focus on the negative and try and move it, if not to something positive, at least then to something neutral that doesn't cause anxiety.
You're listening to the Kind to Your Mind podcast. I'm Ian Brannan, and I'm joined by Dr. Anushta Sivanathan, who's the Medical Director and Consultant Psychiatrist at the Cheshire and Wirral Partnership NHS Foundation Trust. In this episode, we're focusing on building resilience and how making small changes could help key workers and their families deal with stress and pressure, particularly that are experiencing at this time. But Dr. Anushta, what is resilience at this particular time and on this particular subject?
I think, first of all, just to say what resilience isn't. Resilience doesn't mean that you don't get worried, okay? It's not that you're in an armoured suit and you don't have any worries or fears. Resilience is the ability to kind of manage, bounce back from the worries and troubles that are bothering people. It's our ability to adapt to it. So managing the changing circumstances and managing and looking after our mental health. It's something that we can take steps towards doing. Simple things such as spending time with loved ones, doing some physical activity, thinking about positive things, things that you enjoy, connecting with people, looking after your body. All of those things help build resilience within us to be able to cope with the challenges. And it's really, really important, Ian, to be able to talk to people. That might be at home, it might be at work, because actually talking about your worries helps put that into perspective. So it's acknowledging that we all have worries and fears at this very difficult time, but actually that's normal, and that we can cope together with those fears and anxieties. So as I said, resilience isn't all about being tough and strong or anything like that. Resilience is the ability to adapt to the very difficult circumstances we're in and using tips and techniques to keep our mental well-being strong.
I guess one thing people are struggling with, particularly those working in healthcare, is the difference between home life and work life. The things you see on the front line but don't want to take home with you, but then be able to engage in normal family life.
Absolutely. And I think the key thing for NHS workers, particularly in the situations that we are put in at this moment in time, is the importance of the clinical teams you work within. Again, it's about that connection, being part of a team, the importance of having supervision or one-to-one time with your peers or with your colleagues, the ability to step out of that situation for a little time, take a break, staying hydrated, being able at the end of your shift to be able to do a little debrief, a little bit about thinking about what's gone well and focusing on all the positives before you physically put that to bed, for want of a better term, or metaphorically put it to bed, and then changing your outfit and going home. And I know it's very easy for me to say that, but it is the things that we know that keep people healthy and well, is to have that ability to have a positive end of day closing of the shift, separating work from home. But the understandable fears that people have about getting COVID, absolutely understandable. And this is back to the resilience issue, because actually having those fears is absolutely natural, but it's the ability to talk to somebody about it and to look after your health so it doesn't become overwhelming. That's what true resilience is.
We talked earlier about anxiety, and I want to talk about low mood next. People may be experiencing this because of not being able to get out, unable to see friends and family, or go on our holidays. What are the signs people should be looking out for if they're feeling a little different?
The main cause at the moment is the stress, or there's two main causes, I guess, mainly. It's the fear of the illness, clearly, which is absolutely understandable. And the second is the inability to connect with loved ones, so being out of our routines and the things that kept us well. So those are kind of triggers to having depression, low mood. Low mood or depression is constant feeling of sadness, about lack of enjoyment. Sometimes it can affect your sleep. It can affect your appetite, so you might overeat or undereat. It gives us negative thinking, so that feeling of being perhaps sometimes hopeless, about feeling that we can't do the things that we used to do. Those are kind of some of the symptoms of low mood.
Obviously, we're fairly limited in how we can interact with our families and loved ones, especially if you've got them living far away as well. Clearly, technology may help. Are there any other tips to be able to help cope with low mood if that is something that someone's experiencing?
Absolutely. So I think the first port of help is friends and your family. If you're at work and you're a key worker, it's really important to talk to your supervisor, line manager. A lot of employers have support for staff internally. So somebody that you can talk to within your organisation. There's websites available, such as the Every Mind Matters from Public Health England, and in Cheshire and Merseyside, the Kind to Your Mind website. For other people where they feel that their needs are escalating, health services are still running. I think it's really important to say that health services are continuing to run. So your GP is available to you. There are now crisis lines throughout Cheshire and Merseyside, where local mental health trusts have put 24/7 helplines into place where you can ring up and you can speak to a trained professional about your mental health. This can be accessed locally. The numbers have been advertised widely, but can also be accessed through NHS 111.
You're listening to the Kind to Your Mind podcast. This is episode one. I'm Ian Brannan, and joining us is Dr. Anushtha Savanathan, Medical Director and Consultant Psychiatrist, Cheshire and Wirral Partnership NHS Foundation Trust. In this episode, we're talking about resilience, mental resilience in these challenging times. But what are the experts doing to keep themselves in the best mental condition, fighting against whatever challenges they may encounter? How are you coping yourself, Anushtha, if I can turn psychiatrist without any qualification whatsoever to you?
Absolutely, and that's no trouble at all. The things that I find helpful, so I have a dog, so I walk the dog. I connect with my mother, who's social isolating and I can't see. We, as a family, have family time, which is just specifically for us. So no external noise, no screen time, no et cetera, et cetera. Connecting with friends. So we have a girls' night virtually. So there is still that social contact, even though we're physically distant. I also do yoga, which I find really helpful. So part of focusing on yoga helps me with my breathing. It helps manage anxiety. And at work, just to say that I've changed my job role. So I've been redeployed, as I know a lot of people have. So working in a different environment, I found it really important to chat to the team that I'm now with, to check out with each other how we're all doing.
Okay.
And importantly, speaking to my manager if I've got any concerns.
So going back to what we were saying earlier, really about sharing your thoughts and talking about where you are as being talking really is everything, isn't it?
It is. The communication and connection is really important because that way it helps us understand how we're feeling and it helps others to support us.
I think we are lucky that this has happened at a point in time, though, where we do have so much technology that can keep us in touch with our families and loved ones, probably more than we ever have been able to if this had happened even 5 years earlier.
The technology has been amazing. And as somebody who is used to see people face to face, we're now able to remotely support people through video conferencing from a clinical point of view. I know general practice are using a lot of video conferencing and telephone conferencing. So the technology from a work point of view has really helped us all work very different. But from a social contact point of view, it's been absolutely vital. So those miles of distance don't really count anymore when you can see somebody face to face, albeit through the internet. But it helps us connect. And that connection for humans is really, really important to help and support our well-being.
And it's amazing the things that people are coming up with that they can manage to do on these applications as well. I think I've seen people have their own version of blind date using video conferencing.
Yep.
My family had a family game of Buckaroo a couple of weekends ago, which was particularly weird. You know, it's different how people are now being forced to think in a completely different way.
And it is our girls' night. I'm now seeing some of my friends more often than I would have normally because we all have busy lives. And actually, it's being able to stop and think about what's important. And that connection is really, really important. I have to say some of the quizzes that have been going out on WhatsApp groups have been driving me very frustrated at times.
Yes.
But things like that are really helpful because, again, it's back to connections. And as humans, we need our connections.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been more quiz is organised in a space of time than in the last month.
No.
Quick quiz masters are definitely in demand.
Indeed, absolutely. And so it's keeping our brains active as well. And quizzes and things are quite a helpful distraction. So again, working out a puzzle, things like that is a good distraction. It's a way of focusing your mind away onto something else, which is important at this time.
Before we round things up, one thing that we kind of touched on right at the start, but I think actually it is quite a major thing that people generally are experiencing, regardless of whether they are a key worker or not, is the change in sleep. If we can touch on that for a moment, because I think a lot of people I've seen on social media and so on have been mentioning this, that their sleep, particularly I think in the first few weeks, people are having really vivid dreams as well. I think, I don't know, maybe it's the change in routine maybe that's affected that. Have you heard of any explanation to why people might have been experiencing such vivid dreams and a change of sleep?
Sleep patterns change with worry. If we worry, whether we've got an exam coming up or a test coming up or a new job interview, we do get worried, and worries affect our sleep. Often people have difficulty getting off to sleep, and sometimes we might wake up early. Good things to do, things that help sleep, are turning off electronic devices. Okay, so it's particularly laptops, phones, etc. Having an hour or so before bed without them. Warm baths, really helpful to relax. As our mothers used to give us hot milky drinks are helpful to help us relax and get off to sleep. Relaxation, a bit of meditation. There's a variety of apps and podcasts that can help us focus and help us relax, and that helps us get off to sleep. The dreams are very interesting because we use our sleep, when we're asleep, our minds help work through the things that have gone on through the day. So having these vivid dreams is a way of our minds trying to make sense of all the worries, anxieties, and all the things that have been happening externally, and trying to make sense out of it. So I don't want people to be worried about having weird dreams. It's the way our minds are processing all the things that are going on around us.
Stress, you mentioned earlier as well, as being a thing that can certainly affect sleep, as I guess any mental stress, whether it's a depression, a low mood or anxiety, it all contributes. But stress we haven't really touched on specifically on its own. What are the signs people should look for if perhaps they're feeling a little stressed? What are the things that maybe cause it, and the ways that people can cope better?
Sometimes very hard to say what's the one thing that's made you stressed. At the moment, clearly, the worry about getting COVID has made people quite stressed. The inability to do the things that they would normally do has made people stressed. Being apart from loved ones has made people very stressed. So stress has a way of affecting us in terms of, it puts our blood pressure up. It can increase our heart rate. We can get very frightened, very worried. It can make us feel quite irritable at times. It can affect our sleep. And the ways to help that is to be able to talk about it. It's to be able to understand, what are the kind of triggers that are going on in our mind? What are the things that would help us normally? So part of it is thinking about, what are the things that we can do that would have normally helped our stress? Are we able to do that? If not, how do we adapt that for not being able to go out to deal with stress? Physical activity is really important. Exercise is really important for stress. It helps release endorphins. Really important to do some physical activity. It releases endorphins and reduces stress.
This is the Kind to Your Mind podcast. It's episode one. I'm Ian Brannan, and we're in conversation with Dr. Anushtha Savanathan, medical director and consultant, psychiatrist, Cheshire and Wirral Partnership NHS Foundation Trust. We've been talking about mental resilience at this time in particular, but there will be a world post COVID-19. We certainly hope that's going to be the way one day at least. We will have learnt from this time, Dr. Anushtha, won't we, of various things. We'll have learnt about ourselves. We'll have learnt about how we can live our lives differently. And we'll have quite a few things to take away from it in a positive sense, hopefully.
I think there's no doubt about it, Ian. I think that we'll have learnt through podcasts like this and the wider awareness of how to support mental health needs, because we know that over the years, people have been having more and more mental health needs. So having sources of support like this, and in Cheshire and Merseyside, the kindtoyourmind.org website, things like that can help us all be mentally resilient and cope with the changes after COVID as well. We know there will be some real positive changes in that, how we work, how we value time, what are the things that are important to us. We know that the reduction in commuting has helped improve the planet. We're all enjoying birdsong at the moment, which we sometimes might not have heard. So there's a whole load of positives that will come out of this once we finish the issues with COVID. And we'll have learnt a lot about ourselves, what's important to us, and what helps us, our health and well-being, to be the best it can be.
So we're focusing on the positives. And of course, the one takeaway I think from this podcast and this episode in particular is that if you are feeling a little bit overwhelmed by anything, a little bit stressed or depressed or anxious over anything that you're experiencing at this present time, whatever that may be, is first of all to talk to your friends and family about it.
Absolutely. Really important to talk to friends and family. And if you feel you can't talk to friends and family, think about talking to people at work, who you work with, because there's always support out there. However, if you feel that that's not sufficient, there are a number of great websites that you can look at. The first one is kindtoyourmind.org, or alternatively, the Public Health England Every Mind Matters campaign, which again is available online. So you'll be able to pick up information, helpful hints. And also, more importantly, if you feel that your mental health issues are getting worse, where you can seek professional advice. The NHS has a specific NHS helpline for NHS employees, 0300 131 7000, or alternatively, you can text frontline to 85258. So there's a number of resources for NHS employees. However, as I said, what's also available is crisis lines available across the country, but in Cheshire and Merseyside, they can be accessed through 111. Or alternatively, if you live in Cheshire and Wirral, our phone number for our crisis line is 0300 303 3972. It's really important that people contact us, because what we want to do is help people early on and that they don't feel that they're suffering or struggling alone.
And finally, before we finish this first episode of the Kind to Your Mind podcast, what would be your final message for people, particularly key workers at this time, to take away?
My main key message is be kind to yourself. Be realistic. Be kind to yourself. Talk to people. And take regular breaks.
Dr. Anushta Sivanathan, it's been an absolute pleasure and thanks for joining us.
No, thank you, Ian. Thank you.
Thank you to Dr. Anushta Sivanathan, our guest on episode one of the Kind to Your Mind podcast, brought to you by your local councils and the NHS in Cheshire and Merseyside. I hope that has been useful. Remember to hit subscribe and give us a rating. We also love to hear from you too, so feel free to leave a comment. For more information on everything we've talked about, visit kindtoyourmind.org, where you'll find lots of helpful information and resources, including top tips from the Every Mind Matters campaign and ALMA, an online wellbeing portal for those living and working in Cheshire and Merseyside. That's it for now. See you next time on Kind to Your Mind. Goodbye.